Welcome back to Ashburton. We're about ready to start now.
It's political commentary.
This morning with Dr. Bryce Edwards. Morena, Bryce, how are you?
Morena, Rachel, I'm very well, thanks.
Hey, it's been a couple of weeks since we've spoken to you, and it's all kicking off in politics at the moment, local and central. Should we start with the local, because that is obviously happening right now. What is going on with the local body elections? All around the country, we're seeing not very good voter turnout. Why is this?
Yes, it's been declining over the last few decades, really. It used to be up around 60 or 70%. We used to vote via, a Saturday, just like general elections. We'd turn up at polling stations, but the voting turnout was going down, so they changed it to postal voting, thinking that would fix things. It did for a while, but now people, find that they can't find post boxes to post their letters, and it's just not really how we do elections anymore. We don't really use envelopes and voting papers like we used to. So I don't know. There's lots of people pointing the finger at voters for being apathetic and lazy. Some people are saying that councils just aren't relevant enough to citizens anymore. So all over the country, Auckland's not doing too bad at the moment. I think they're on the same sort of level as back in 2016. But if you look at places like Wellington, where I am, the last figures as of last night were 21% turnout. And that's, that's looking pretty bad compared to this time back in 2016. At the equivalent stage was 34%.
Wow.
So we're looking in Wellington to have a turnout in the end probably of about 30% of enrolled voters.
So that's not too hot. How do you think we could change this? I know a lot of people have talked about online voting, but is that really the way forward, or is it kind of a situation where we maybe need a combo of different options?
Yeah, I mean, obviously a lot of change is needed, I think. But online voting, there's a lot of arguments about whether it can be secure enough and whether it can be hacked. And I don't really have an opinion about that, but I do know that where it's been done overseas, it hasn't really led to any huge increase in voter turnout. It tends to be the elderly that use it the most, funnily enough, and those that are already voting. So it's not a silver bullet for those marginalised or underrepresented groups at the moment. I mean, basically in the end, local government just doesn't seem relevant enough. So somehow it needs to be made more relevant to people so that they actually believe that when you vote for Phil Goff or whoever, they're actually going to make a difference. And people don't seem to believe that at the moment. And they're probably right. Local government doesn't have that much power. Central government still essentially decides most things. And even where local government has a lot of power, they tend to give it to council-controlled organisations, little business units, to actually make decisions. So probably some major reorganisation of the way we do politics as leaders.
Do you think also maybe it's to do with people just not being aware of who is running? Because, I opened the candidate book for Auckland and I just thought, I haven't seen half of these faces before, especially when you get to something like the DHB, and I don't think people know what the DHB is, really.
I mean, if you think about general elections, we have political parties, and that kind of makes things much more coherent. So you don't necessarily need to know who's number six on the Green Party list to know whether to vote for that option. You sort of know what voting Green means. Whereas without having political parties in local elections, it means you have to think about all those little individuals and their what they're standing for, and it's very hard. So I do actually think in some ways there's lots to criticise about political parties, but they still do bring coherence, and you sort of know how to vote a bit more. So I think really bringing political parties back to local politics might be the way ahead.
Do you think also, we've talked a lot about history being brought into schools, and that's kind of brought up the conversation of being civics education maybe being brought into schools as well. Do you think that's something we should be advocating for?
Yeah, I mean, more information has to be a good thing, more skills about, interpreting politics and people thinking critically about the world, it has to be a good thing. I just don't know that that's going to be the answer for turning this around. In fact, you might find that the more people know about how politics works, the more cynical they get and the less inclined they are to actually participate.
So let's move on to talking about, I guess, central government now, which has announced a $7.5 billion surplus. Now, what is a government surplus? What does that actually mean?
It's just the difference between how much you're earning and how much you're spending. So it means the government with all their tax they're getting in and all the money they're spending on health, education, superannuation, they've actually got a surplus, they've actually got more in the kitty than they're spending, so it's a really good thing. And after kind of many years of having some deficits where we were having to borrow to actually be able to afford things, things have turned around, and this government, it's mostly because the economy's doing well, and businesses are quite profitable at the moment, and so the tax take from corporates is actually up a lot at the moment. So it's really good news for the government.
There's been a bit of clapback on from critics, though, saying that we do have deficits in areas like welfare at the moment. Why aren't they spending some of this surplus on those areas? What do you think about that, Bryce?
Yeah, I totally agree with that. So although it's good news for the government, it's a bit of a headache because everyone left, right and centre are saying, well, if you've got $7.5 billion, why aren't you using it on some of the intractable problems at the moment, housing, health, education, infrastructure? And, yeah, I think that's ultimately what the government will do. But the problem is that at the last election, Grant Robertson, Labor and the Greens, they promised not to spend too much. They promised to keep debt down, and that's kind of had their hands tied. I mean, they did that really because they were scared of being painted as irresponsible, and they thought that National would hit them over the head, as they tried to do, for, being tax and spend. And so they promised not to be tax and spend, and it's kind of meant that they haven't been able to fix some of those big problems, which is a shame.
Do you think we might see some spending coming into election year?
Yeah, I think Grant Robertson, Labor, will promise to do something big with that money. It could be tax cuts. It could be that they make the first $5,000 of everyone's income tax-free, which would, be a progressive thing. Or they could, start spending big on a proper housing program or start fixing up some of the hospitals and schools that are kind of falling down at the moment.
So let's talk a little bit about NZ First now. What's going on there? There's been a bit in the last couple of days in the news about reports of a leak of members' data to police. What's this all about, Bryce?
Oh, the big picture, really, New Zealand First, they've got their annual conference coming up this weekend. They're not doing well in the polls. They're kind of about 2, 3, 4%. In the polls. Obviously, under NMP, we need to be at 5% to actually get back in. And so the pressure really is on. And I think a lot of core supporters of New Zealand First just feel that the party isn't actually doing what they said they're going to do. And they've gone to government, they've become a bit lame. And so there's a lot of people inside the party that feel, well, they've got lots of complaints about Winston Peters being dictatorial and running the show himself. And so those complaints are starting to spill out into the open with leaks, and I think it's just all that discontent, really. And we've had the party president as well, who's resigned, not just as party president last week, but he's resigned from the party. And again, that's all been quite mysterious, but part of it is that he was expected to sign off on the financial accounts for the year, and he said that he didn't really believe them.
Wow.
And he didn't have enough information. And, parties have to make declarations each year to the Electoral Commission about the donations they've received, and it looks suspiciously like they're trying to cover up some of those donations, or it's just a bit hard to know. So he's gone.
All right, so that could be a little bit of choppy waters ahead for NZ First coming into election season for central government. Well, thank you so much for your time this morning, Dr. Bryce Edwards. We really appreciate it. It's nice to have you back on the show after a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Rachel.
Hope it's a nice day down in Wellington.
It's not.
Oh, dear. No. Well, that's all right. It's a bit the same up here. Cheers,
okay.
Bryce.
Cheers.
Thanks.
Okay, bye.
Bye.
You just heard a bit of political commentary.